beyond my pay grade.
I can give you a better example.
Okay. Again, it's beyond my pay grade. I know where I can say things about, and I know what I just wave at, and we'll wave at this one. I was raised, again, I'm not arguing with the Peleites, because I don't argue with Peleites, but in my community, and where I was raised, we named for parents, forefathers, we named for family members. Not always, or for Rebbeim, we named for Rebbeim. Not everybody does it, but that's where I was raised. The Peleites is saying it's not worth doing that. Again, I'm just telling you where I was raised. It's a fact. It's not something to argue about that I was raised that way. So it's nothing you can argue, yes.
Well, there's also another aspect of this, which is recursive, in that because the father was the type of person who named someone asking for the help from the Venerable Elder, that aspect of his personality was manifest. In fact, it's something that
was also. Okay, maybe, yeah, again. I don't know. I can't answer the question.
Nature versus nurture.
Zakti Gemara Vaitim. We are on the Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we are up to Amar HaMeimar, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Did he start the recording?
I started it.
No.
I know I started it already. Okay, but that's life. Amar HaMeimar. Hi, Pira de Sufli. Pira de Sufli is a pit where they used to gather the pits. A pit for a pit. No, it was a pit. A ditch, okay. That's because he doesn't like to use the same word. The pit that was used to gather the pits of dates. He has a better theosaurus than I have. Hi, period of Sufli. Yesh boy Mishum Asufi. You put up, when one puts their child there, that isn't Asufi, because it's a dangerous place. The trashy period of Sufli. Nimtza b'chafiro, he's found in a ditch. Hasuya lahato shem garine tvarim. Where you put the pits of dates, Lamacho Behemoth. They used to store them there. I guess the community used to throw their pits away. Nothing got wasted in those days, or I should say very little got wasted. They probably had less garbage in a year than we have in a week. And they were not a disposable society. And therefore, the pits of the dates were saved for edible food. Yeshua Mishim HaSufi, the Chutzla Yerabdilei, they usually did it out of the city, which Shichuhu Mazikin and Mazikim used to hang around there. So putting a child there was exposing him to danger, which is a riot that he is in Asufi, where we would aser him rabbinically. Again, biblically, he's still not aser, because it's still too a suffix. But Rabbanan made a ma'ilos of b'yuchsin. In certain cases, there is no ma'ilos of b'yuchsin. They don't even consider him an Asufi. Later. Charifted in the harem, we'll learn like Rashi, to machoikos v'shaynim, middle of the river, where the river flows well, where there's traveling boats, where little boats travel, because they don't get stuck in the mud near a shore. So it's more to the middle, that's where the boat traffic is, aimed by Mishum HaSufi. By putting him out there, it's saying, please somebody find him and take care of him. Because you're putting him in traffic. There used to be boat traffic in their rivers, and the boat traffic would bump into this kid and would save him. Shuri Pishri, if it's in the side near the bank where it's the water expanded because of the melting snow, but it's not a place where boats travel because it's shallow and therefore they get stuck in the mud. Yeshbam and Asufi, because the person that puts them there does not expect them to be found. Rashi, Charifted in Haran, a snoo by Raven, they put him in a little boat. Vishlechasu Laemtes Hanor, and they threw him into the middle of the river. Mokum Shasvinus Irish Summit. There's constant boat traffic. Eimer Mishim HaSufi. The Lekach Torcha Loilichat Charibus Hanor. It was a bother to take him all the way into the middle. Shiav Rishvinus Shambim Tuhu. They wanted the boats to find him. Pishra. Mokum Shipu Hanor Adei Avshar Shlagim. Where the river becomes shallower because of the melting snow. Shein Derech Shvinus Lavrisham. Boats don't travel there. Yes, Rebbe Masufi, yes, Doctor.
I'm interesting, given this week's parsha, that Moshe Rabbeinu Olashon was found by Batya during the month of Sivan, which is not part of the flood season, so he would have been in the main channel of the Nile. So,
again, I'm learning Chumash here now, but my Chumash says, Atasim Basuf. Shibadavka didn't put him into the river, in the main river. She put him by the swamp, in a swampy area that he shouldn't float away. See, one of them stuck there. Now, what her havamina was, I don't know, but I think the pasuk is saying she did not put him into the Nile where he floats down river, up river, wherever the Nile floats. But, no, because the Nile happens to flow south to north. But, he Suf means swamp, so it was at the swamp, Adarabba. He didn't want him to go anywhere.
You're right, I'm wrong.
Don't think about it, right? I'm a rabba. Sorry, I skipped. Tidei Rishus HaRabim, and by Mishum HaSufi. The sides of the street where the traffic, where people walked in a safe way, wasn't overloaded traffic, but was a constant flow of people in a slow manner, like the not in the middle of the center where people were running back and forth and doing things, but on the side, and by Mishum HaSufi. She wants them safe. Rishus HaRabim, however, she puts a smack in the middle of the Shusarabim. It's a dangerous place to be for a baby because animals are going those days. Animals walk there, and a lot of traffic there moving at a very fast pace, and it's dangerous. Yes, Rabbi Shema Sufi. That's when it's a Shaila Basufi. I'm a Rabbi. Ubishnei Ra'avoin, ain't Rabbi Shema Sufi. Rabbi said a statement which we don't know what he's going on, but he's saying if it's famine years, there's no Asufi. Frak the Gemara high. Where did you find this baby? Elay my Rishus HaRabim. I did the Shnei Rabim Katlalai. Rishus HaRabim is dangerous. How does the years of famine change the fact that you put him in a dangerous place? The bottom line is, it's famine. She has to put the baby out, but she's not going to put him out to get killed. So how does that make a difference? Ella must be a Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Must be, you talk about it at the side of the street. But Mayu Shnei Rav, Philip Lai Shnei Rav Nami. Didn't we also say it doesn't make a difference if it's a famine or not? The side of the street is a place of safety. She wanted him safe. It's a riot that he's not an Asufi. So exactly, where does famine make a difference? If she puts him in a dangerous place, that's Asufi. If she puts him in a non-dangerous place, it's not Asufi. Famine doesn't make a difference. And for the Gemara, El Kiyitma Durabu Aholitma. Rabbi said it on totally something else. Nothing to do with the location of the baby. The location of the baby has been determined by the last third of an Amid, or wherever it was, half an Amid, third of an Amid, where it is an Asufi, where it is not an Asufi.
What do you mean? How about a Shuk?
What?
A Shuk different than a Rishus HaRabim?
Not sure. I don't think so. I'm not sure. That's an Asufi. We talked about Asufi's nest of an Ashok. But now, we say a different story. Koz Man Shebashok. Now, over here, there's a big shiloh what the word Koz Man Shebashok means. Pashtas it means, in a place that's dangerous. We found the baby in a place that's dangerous. As long as the baby is still there, I haven't finished the statement. Please do not. I haven't said anything yet.
You should have. Before you get there, we mentioned Shuk. Is it Shuk the same as your Shurabim?
I said yes.
But.
You didn't let me finish. It's not like I'm ignoring it. Kozman Shibashuk, Avavim and Amanamalov. If they walk, the father and mother come and pick the baby off the street and say, this is ours. They're believed. There's no proof. They're not proving it. No DNA test. How do we know? As long as he's out there, he hasn't been found by anybody else. He hasn't been picked up by anybody. There's no name Asufi on him yet because he hasn't been Nefas Min Ashok. So therefore, at that point, father or mother can say, this is my child. However, Nesef Menashuk, once he was brought in, somebody picked him up from the dangerous place, and in walks Mr. So-and-so and says, this is my child. And we say, so why did you expose him to danger? And he says, I didn't. This is the way the Achranim explain it. I put him somewhere else. He ended up getting moved over there. So it ain't a manamalov, we don't trust him. My time, why not? If we trust them before somebody picked him up, so why don't we trust them after somebody picked him up? The answer is because once he's known as an Asufi, Rabbanu Mar Machmer. before he was classified as an Asufi, he can be prevented from being called an Asufi by the fact that father and mom pick him up and say, he ended up where we ended up by mistake. This is not where we put him. This is not where to learn. However, if he gets picked up already, so now they're trying to undo the classification, they're not believed. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Nemanah Namam of Leiber B'nei Nuhu. They're believed to say, he's our child. Let's go right to V'yama Rava. And on that, Rava said, Shnei Ravain, but in years of famine, Ava Bisha Nesem and Ashok, Ava Vima Nemanah Malov. That's where Rava said famine makes a difference. That in years of famine, we are willing to declassify. And then when it's not years of famine and we classify it as an Asufi, we don't undo it. Because it was found in the street, it's a dangerous place, he's an Asufi. Now they're coming to claim some claim, we're not going to make it now. This is what it's already Yatsal of Kael. But if Shnei Ra'avayim, what they're saying makes a lot of sense. And therefore, we're willing to go against the Kael and say he's not an Asufi, Rashi. Rashi, B'Shnei Ra'avayim, Shahar Ben Ishlachim. Look, Rashi, really there's no logic to this. Because the end of the story is he was still an Asufi in the street. The Kael is still there. The Rashi, what happens is, in Shnei Ra'avayim, there are many Asufis. And therefore, the Rabbanan lowered the bar about what we need. Because they weren't interested. Remember, this is all a Chumra de Rabbanan Asufi. But the Raisi's Kusher. They didn't want a lot of Asufis. And since in years of famine, this becomes more frequent, they lowered the bar of what's necessary to remove the name. Not because there's more reason to believe the father. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. He was found in the street. He was found in a dangerous place. But we have a lot of Asufis. And Rabbanan don't like that. And therefore they say, you know what? This is all rabbinic to begin with. It's a my loss of a yuchsin. And we're willing to look the other way. In years of famine, somebody comes and claims him. Even though he was already taken off the street, we're willing to believe the father or the mother that it's their child and that he's a kosher kid and just look the other way. Even though we made the takana that he's called something called Asufi and the Kohel went out that he's an Asufi, we're willing to go against it. Yes, Dr. Harris.
Child is found to Sarabi. And they say it's their kid.
Before they took him home or after they took him home? Yes. Yes. Now, they're going to have to answer you how the kid ended up in Shisarab. Or that they didn't put him there and they don't know how he ended up in Shisarab. That's how the Mepharshim learn. Because they're bothered by the same thing you're bothered. You just rub him and you put him out to die. The answer is, they'll come up with some kind of explanation of how he ended up in Shisarab. But we believe them, and we don't classify the kid as an Asufi. Now, the Gemara is going to say, at least for the mother, the father might be different, this is a rabbinic nemanus. This is not a biblical nemanus. But we're dealing with a rabbinic issue to begin with. Asufi is rabbinic. Biblically, there's no Asufi. So, we have no problem believing people rabbinically to remove Asufi, or to prevent Asufi, I'd rather use that word. Yes, doctor.
Is there a difference on which is majority Jewish or majority?
This is all majority Jewish. Every part of this discussion is a majority Jewish city.
This would not apply in a majority Gentile.
No. Majority Gentile, Sikh Subas 15b.
So people aren't left the baby in the street to die?
It's dangerous!
Wouldn't they leave him in the forest or something?
Again. I'm just telling you what the Gemara says. Putting a baby in the street is putting him in danger. Putting a baby on the side of the street is not putting him in danger. Now, I don't know if they want him to die or they don't care if he dies. I'm not sure. I hear your point. Why not take him somewhere where nobody will ever find him? They didn't do that. They put him in the street where there's a chance he will be found and saved, but at the same time, he's in a danger. They don't care to make sure he's safe. Let's put it this way. Not that they want him killed, but they're not interested in making sure that he's safe. That's, I think, the
I think they have Rahmas when they put him in the street. No, I mean, I've already.
Yes.
So the shuk is classified here as like Rosh Hashanah, right?
It is.
But I don't know why would you bring a new situation then?
Call Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. Look back in the Mishnah. I'm trying to explain to you. I'm trying to answer you. We look back at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, a Sufi, kosh nesav min hashuk. That's the Mishnah's translation back on Samach Tes Amud Aleph, 69a. The Mishnah says there, in Kiddushin, right, in the Mishnah on Samach Tes Amud Aleph, classifies a Sufi as nesav min hashuk. Now, simply put, when you learned that Mishnah, you said, gathered from the outdoors. Now, even though shuk is you didn't learn that way, but you're familiar with that. That shuk meant anywhere outdoors where he's not being protected by parents, by loving parents. Came along this Gemara and said, no, you should know that this rule of outdoors is not a rule of outdoors. Depends how the baby is, the location, the condition, all those things that we now went and explained that shuk is not a term for any outdoor place, but is a limited outdoor place, and the kid has to be in a certain condition to be classified as an asufi, which biblically is still kosher. To marry a Jewish girl. But the rise of the suffix mamzer is mutter. The Gemara said not everybody is a suffix mamzer. It depends on the condition of the baby. It depends on where he was put. So we went and classified shuk from being all outdoors to being some of the outdoors. Okay. That's the answer. Zakti Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Chisda. Now we're leaving Asufi. We're basically finished with Asufi. And we're now moving on based on the fact that we just said parents are believed to identify their child, even though they have no proof except they're a claim. They're not proving it's their child. They're just saying, this is our child. Now, what happens if they have proof? Might be a different halacha. He has a birthmark there. They come up with something that's a sima muvik. They might be believed even later. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about they just come and say, this is ours. So we believe them as long as the kid was in the street. Once he was in that, it was a Sufi, we said we can't undo the classification. He's now subject to the rabbinic mylos of Yuchsin. What? Oh, yeah, unless Nei Rabban. Thank you very much. Yes?
When you said proof, I was thinking in terms of witnesses.
Witnesses would be believed no matter what where he is. Okay. Witnesses can debunk a child, no problem.
So you, when you say proof, you're talking about things like birthmarks.
I said, I don't know. I assumed that would be a good raya. I didn't see it discussed. Not to give my right. Amar Rav Chisda. Shloishin amanam la'alter. There's three that we trust immediately. Now, I'm going to learn like Rashi, like some of the Rishayim. It's a big machlekes Rishayim. Not going there. But this is all rabbinically. The Drabbanan reacted to a need and said, we have to trust certain people, even though biblically they might not be believed. But we're going to trust them, even for biblical issues. It doesn't say Eluhe. A Sufi, we trust the parents if they come immediately, and immediately means big machlokes. Some say while it's on the street, and some say immediately means even if they come immediately after the baby was picked up, they're still believed. Even though before we said once it's picked up and not believed, the Gemara is now adding that la'alter, they would be believed. It's machlokes what la'alter means. Some learn la'alter means as long as he's not picked up. That's called right away. Some learn it means even past pick up right away, but they don't say exactly what right away is. Chaya, a midwife is believed, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly what she's believed. Upateres chaverseha, and a woman that absolves her friends, and we will see what that means as well. Rashi, namanam la'alter v'loy lachasman, I've a kol shara namanam. Anybody that's believed biblically, or even rabbinically in other cases, they're not limited to a right away. whatever the translation of right away, they're not limited to that right away. Pateres chaver seha, menatumah kudim afarish. Zog de gemar mahi. What are we talking about? I'm sorry, I skipped. Asufi hadamaran. We know what the case of Asufi is. We just said it. Chaya de tanya. Chaya ne menes loimer, ze yatsirishin, ze yatsirishini. Case is talking about a woman had multiple births. So the one who's taking care of her is Mrs. Midwife. The midwife can identify who is the Bechor. Nobody else is in the room, necessarily. Mom is busy giving birth. The only one who can tell us this is first and this is second is the midwife. So who's this is Negei in many halachas. Who gets Pishnayim, who gets Pidyon HaBen, who needs a Pidyon HaBen, right? Or there's a girl and a boy, is there a need of Pidyon HaBen? How do we know? Who tells us who's born first? The midwife. And therefore, the midwife is believed to say, Zeh Yatzer
Rishayna. And this midwife is what again?
A lady. What does she want? Does she have a nurse's uniform on?
No.
If she has one. What do you want? I'm not trying to.
Is she a Goya?
No, Chas v'Shalom. He's Jewish.
You wouldn't believe the mother.
How does the mother know?
She doesn't know. The mother's got a baby.
Again, she has two babies.
Yeah. What? Just to find out her insurance.
She just had two babies. Right.
So unconscious.
And she would recognize which is the two? I know, I have two 8 o'clock twins and I can't tell the difference between them, so you can tell me that she can tell the difference between the twins right away. This is the first
girl,
the second. Maybe boy and girl she would know.
That's why they try string.
Again. Which I didn't say there was no string. We're trying to deal with the situation. We're not telling you the optimal situation. We're telling you who's believed to say. And also, who says that she tied it on the first one, not on the second one? You're trusting the midwife.
Oh.
Yes, the Torah said that Zerach stuck his hand out and she tied a string, and then Peretz came out first. By the way, Peretz was the Bechor because he's the one that came out first, his head or right of his body. But she tied a Zerach. They say, Yatzer Rishayna. It's not that he was a halacha Bechor.
So the midwife was wrong with that.
She wasn't wrong. She just said he stuck his hand out first.
Yeah.
Dr. Rashi said, Yatzer is Shim Bechor Hu. He's a Bechor. Dr. Gavar, Bamedvar Mamorim, Shlo Yatzer Sevachazra. That's if she didn't leave the room before she identified them. Abba Yatzer Sevachazra ain't in a menace. If both babies are born, she walks out of the room and comes back. She got busy with something. The Mepharshim speak out. She went out to take care of something. Then she comes back and says, oh, this is the first and this is the second. Lady, you have no recollection.
Rabbi, who is she talking to?
Father. We wouldn't identify who's the firstborn, right? Who is she telling? The mother.
But,
she's talking to the relatives, to Cousin Sam if he shows up. I don't know. Whoever's there to wish Mazel Tov. She's telling them this is the Bechor and this is the not Bechor. And we're
15 years later, these boys are now fighting about who's the eldest. She would have not left the room. She would have been speaking not to Aiden, but she would have been speaking to whom? Who's in the birthing room with her?
Again, at the point where she is Naaman is when she comes out of the birthing room without having left and comes and says, I know this is first and this is second. Whoever she tells, this becomes fact now. She's going to talk to somebody at one point. Two babies are born. She's not here to take them care of them permanently. She obviously is taking care of them to keep them alive, whatever has to be done. Right? She's the NICU and the PICU and whatever else she is. And she's taking care of mom and babies. Now, I don't know if she has help. She doesn't have help. But at one point, she leaves and goes home. At one point, she gives it over to somebody else. At that point, she identifies and says, this was the oldest, and this is the second oldest. And we believe her. Now, 15 years later, she's not believed. She's only believed if she says it la'alter, before she leaves the room and gets involved in something else. Now, as Ramesha pointed out, if she ties a string, then the string is the raya. He said it at that time. But we're talking about there was no physical thing done to identify. Today, they would slip on that bracelet, that whatever you call it, that they put on when a person walks into the hospital. They have a thing they put on right away.
Yeah, the hospital band.
And they would slip a band on as soon as the baby is born. And if they don't switch, they would obviously make a simon in that band. I assume that that's the oldest.
Old school.
Yes.
In the end, part of the duties of a midwife or a doula or whatever is that they will wash off the baby, straighten it, and swaddle it, so they could very well.
Right. Okay. That could be anagami.
Yeah.
There could be other simana, but it had to happen before she left the room.
Absolutely.
If she left the room before any of these simana were done, and she comes back, lady, it's too late. How do you know?
Maybe you say without any question, if it be a Goya, she does not believe?
I'm not going to say that. I assume that. Again.
Because it's
Again. You know what? I'd rather say I don't know. Okay? I'll leave it there. That way you can't ask me questions. I don't know.
Why should a guy be worse than a spring around the wrist?
Again. I don't know. Learn Masechta Aveda Zara. See Masechta Aveda Zara. First you pruck him, and especially the first parak, no, second parak, and make up your mind at that point, and I don't know. It's because I don't know Masechta Aveda Zara in my head, so I can't answer that question definitively. Yes?
I don't know which one is older. Did you
book Abinyon Aben? Abinyon Aben is not a problem. The problem is Pishnayim. Have fun. I don't know. It would be nobody knows who's older. They would be fighting over that Yerusha.
And the father who has the Bechor doesn't know that which one's Bechor either.
That we're going to see later on. We'll talk about that. It's a very valid point. The Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah that says that fathers believe because they're Zabini Bechori. That means we believe that. This will all be discussed. We are just opening the Sugya, and we're having a lot of questions before we let the Gemara do its thing. Yes.
As far as Pidyon and Pishnayim, don't we have a principle that you cannot take money from someone unless you bear proof and absolutely can you need to rise up?
Again, if there's Pidyon Aben, a guy has two sons. If it's a child of a girl or a boy, you're right. The child of two sons, he's Mamano Shachayev and Pidyon Aben. He doesn't have to know who he's redeeming. He has a Bechor.
Yeah.
Pishnayim? Peace time is a big problem because there's no books. Dad died.
At a Yerusha, people are taking from each other.
Again, Dad died. Dad died. That means there's no books. Nobody's taking from each other because they don't know who Yarshin is what.
But, I mean, when you've got someone who's not going to, who's going to inherit pigs or whatever, it's not Shabbos, that's you've got a problem in sort of giving over the grave guy because you're essentially selling.
Again, Yerush isn't automatic.
Yeah.
Pishnayim can't be automatic because we don't know who it goes to.
The division of Yerush is not automatic.
I'm not dividing it now. But it's not like the Mechavera, whoever Yarshin that got it. We don't know who.
So Pishnayim is a division.
We're not learning Masechta Baba Basra now. The minute the father died, the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. That means he has two-thirds right in this. There's two sons. He gets two-thirds right in this property. One of these kids has two-thirds right, and one of them does not. Nobody is taking away from the other, but they don't know who has it. Okay, it's not for now. Bye, Chip. Reb Lezer, I'm Rehuchzikal, I'm the Nemenes, and Bavay the Nemenes. He's more Machmer. He says, even if she didn't leave the room, but she got involved in something else, she went to write the paperwork before she identified them, she's not believed anymore. She has to be working with them. Once she got involved with something else and left the babies alone, and now returned to the babies and wants to identify them, Reb Lezer does not believe them. My Benayu, Ike Benayu, the Hider Apra. She turned her face in the Mepharshim speak out. Not that she physically turned her face. It means she got involved in something. In the room. Didn't leave the room. She's still there, got involved in something else. Do we still believe her or not as a machloekis?
It's very interesting what Rebbe said.
I know, I know I'm very interesting. I'm always interested.
She got involved with paperwork about the kids.
Doesn't make a difference. She's involved in something. And if you don't like my kind of paperwork, say it out there, tell what she got involved in. Rashi.
No, it makes a difference.
She went to eat lunch. Rashi.
No.
Dr. Rashi. And who's the guy? I'm the... Dr. Rashi.
Yeah.
Dr. Rashi. To the Mepharish, the Hadra Abba in a minute. She didn't turn around. And Mav, the Hadra Abba, ain't in a minute. Move on to the third case. We're going to come back to the midwife, but now we're moving on to the third case. Pateres Chavirseh Mahi. What is the case of Pateres Chavirseh? Not. Okay. Now, Shalosh Shanim Shayishenis and Mitachas. Three women were sleeping in one bed, and the Gemara explains in Masechtas Nidah, they were not sleeping, that one has the eastern side of the bed, and one on the western side of the bed, and one in the middle. I should say right side, left side, middle. That's what happened. They were sleeping in a way that they tossed and turned and moved over across, meaning you don't know, that all three were in all three parts of the bed, or very possibly on all three sides of the bed. Rashi uses the Lashon, they're attached to each other. They're hugging each other. They're moving around. These ladies are in one bed, and then you can't say this one was on the right side and never saw the left side, and this one was on the left side and never saw the right side, and this one was in the middle. That's not what happened. We found blood on the bed. One of these women had a discharge of blood. Whose tummy? Is it from which lady had it? We don't know. So the halacha is, kula tmeis. We have to assume it came from every one of them. It's a suffering tumah. But ka'achas mehem v'nimtzas tmeya. If one of them checks themselves and finds that she has dam in her, so then we say he tmeya v'kula tmeis. Then it makes sense that she is the source of this blood. And the other two can assume that it's not them. Only if that woman checked herself immediately. If she checked herself immediately, then we can say that the blood on the bed is the blood from her. But if she took time to check herself, the blood in her might have come later. And that's not enough to paskin that she is the source and the other ones are not. Again, everybody will ask me, but it's still more logical came from her, not enough to be matired the other one. So if she checked herself immediately when we found it, and she has dam, we say she's probably the source of dam, and the other two are tahor. If she didn't check herself immediately, so we have no proof that this blood that she's finding now is the source of the blood on the bed. Maybe somebody else stained the blood on the bed. And therefore, they're all tummy. So I haven't said anything yet. So sheer vest means right away. That means the altar, Rashi. Dr. Rashi Kishir Vest, Lacher Metziah Miyad, right after she found it. Msechtas Nidim Mepharish Shir Vest. How soon does it have to be? Sha'oimed Ha'ed, Hu Akinuach. Aid refers to the piece of cloth that she uses to wipe herself. Betzad HaMashkoiv, next to her body. Ve'edim Mechusel L'Kanech Miyad, and she wipes right away. Meaning there's no interval between finding it and she checked herself. But if there's an interval, I don't know how long the interval is, but not so long, we say that the blood she found in her, remember, she's not coming out, it's in her, came afterwards, and it's not a riot in the other two or to her. So she's in other case where we believe the altar and not lachesman. That's why these three are lumped together. Kinuach is the act of wiping.
It's not the cloth itself?
Cloth is the aid.
Yeah. And what is the side of
Masha? Next to her body. Meaning it's immediately next to her.
It's not by the door or whatever.
Now, we view the woman's body, her private part, as a doorway. And Betzara Mashkev means near the doorway on the top. We're using an analogy.
Where are the other two ladies? If we would check the second lady, and she is bloody, what do we do then?
Then both are tummy, and the third one is tar.
You know, the first one checked first, right?
That's making a difference.
Well, they checked and they didn't find.
It doesn't make a difference. If she finds us a bloody, she's coming anyway. I mean, I know I made a good point.
Right.
Somebody had something to say on the phone?
No, Avram said if they two checked, right? What if they two checked and didn't find blood? Does that mean the third one is coming?
That's a big Shiloh there. The Gemara, I think, says yes. And then the Gemara says, but if the third one checked and didn't find, then they're all coming again.
But she checked later. She didn't check, but later.
Again, but if they're all tar, there's no reason to blame one more than the other.
I meant to say, the two checked right away and didn't find, but the third one checked later and found.
And didn't find.
No, if she did find later, we don't believe her, right? If she found it late, checked the next day.
We believe her, but it has nothing to do with the blood on the bed. Yes, doctor. You had a question?
No, I was
okay. Doctor, come on, right. Doctor, come on, right. Tanarabana. The menes, chaya, loimers, and koyans, and levies, and nossens, and mamser. This is a new getter. Five ladies are giving birth in one room, and one midwife. They all have babies, and one of them comes from a father who's a kayan, and one comes from a father that's a levy, and one comes from a father that's a nussin, and one comes from a father that's a mamzer. Four of them. And they all have babies. Now, how do we know which one is the mamzer? Which one is the nussin? Which one is the kayan? Which one's the levy? And by the way, these are biblical implications. The midwife can say, this baby belongs to A, and this baby belongs to B, and B, this baby belongs to C, and this baby belongs to D. Nothing is one of the seven bad nations that were Magaya. You see them.
Their mother is, right?
Makes no difference father or mother. Just like mamzer makes no difference father or mother. If the mother's a mamzer and the father's a
mamzer. She has to know ahead of time.
Who has to know? Again, the midwife is identifying who gave birth to whom.
That's all she has to do.
It's only as long as nobody argues with her. If somebody else is in the room and disputes the midwife, she's not believed. Meaning, we don't only trust her when there's nobody else around. But if other people are arguing, it's not like they're believed, but she's not believed either. We're not sure. Frank the Gemara Ira Demai. How, who's arguing with her? Elaim Ira Khan. One person's arguing with her. Yachin says one argument does not undermine us. If we believe somebody, the fact that one person argues with him does not make a difference. Ella Ira Trey must be two people arguing. If two people coming and say that she's not true, we believe the two, not her. End the story. If there's two people that say, lady, may you make a mistake. That's not the one. This is the one. Okay? This is the end of that. We can't believe the lady. Obviously. Two Adam are more than her. We believe her, but not more than two Adam.
They were in the room.
Obviously. Not how could they say anything? Like, I can't testify what happened in the hospital's labor room.
They chose through a window of a different room
to argue with.
What if they don't say anything? The midwife identifies and the Adam don't know. We believe them. We believe her. But if the two Adam that argue, we don't believe her. That's all. Okay. Even if one argues, it is enough to undermine her. Why? When did Rabbi Yechon say you need two people? If we have an assumption of kashrus, and one aid comes and says no, we say to the aid, bye-bye. You can't destroy a chazaka. But here's a baby we don't know. Nobody knows. One is also believed to tell the midwife you're lying, and we don't know who to believe. Rashi. Dr. Rashi said, Kayan said, Levi Nosum, she old of a basachas. Babai Sachas. And she's Kayan, Levi Nosum, Mamzer. Chakarl of Irem, Shloyotsim, Ayral, Avlad Lemmers, Ebenoish, Ashes, Mamzer. Nobody said that this is the child of Ashes, Mamzer. Echad is the chazaka de kashrus, shebuzaka by the chetzis kasher. That's talking about when we assume somebody is kasher and one person comes and says he's puzzle. Aber echad the lek chazaka kashrus, shle neidel abrius miwa kasher, lo yatzachem de safik. And we have a subject about all four of them. She's the one that's telling us. Somebody's arguing with her. She has no more belief than the other person. Yes, doctor. He's been waiting.
Just an observation. We seem to be accepting testimony for someone who came to us. So it seems if this situation arrived today, that we would be able to use DNA to link baby to mother. Why should the DNA be worse than
You know, the difference between me and you is you're willing to poskin and I'm not.
No, I'm asking you a question.
I don't know. I have no idea.
No, but
see, we do use DNA sometimes. We don't use DNA other times. And the real reason between the two, if you talked about it halakhically, it's a pretty murky, I hate to use the word, pretty fine line. We trust DNA to identify bodies. We're matri gunos. And we find a person, we can't identify him, but we have the DNA. We're matter his wife to get married. HSH. We do that all the time. Achmana Lutzan, we should never have to do it. But they do it all the time. They're doing it now in Eretz Yisrael. They're identifying bodies by DNA, and they're being matter their wives to be married. That's, unfortunately, the truth. It's an unfortunate situation, but that's the truth. However, we do not use DNA to establish paternity. Even though the odds are that it's not good or slim, but if I understand correctly, and I probably will be corrected, is that it's not the same odds as in identifying a body. So if, again, I'm making up these numbers, that if identifying a body, DNA can be wrong 1/1,000,000th of a time. To identify paternity, it can be wrong 1/50,000th of a time. And therefore, they decided not to use it. I was told, and this is not a reliable source, that the reason we don't use the DNA to identify paternity is we don't want to find out about Mamzerim. Because imagine if guys take a paternity test and they find out that they're not the son of the person. That means mom was Mazana. That means they're a Mamzer. So they decided that DNA is not acceptable to prove paternity in Halacha. I was told that the reason they made that decision was based on the fact they really don't want to find out. They don't want to know. Mamzerim, Tarim, Blessed, Lovey. Why find out when you don't have to find out? That's what I was told. Is it true or not? I have no idea. I'm not willing to. I just know that's it. So, would we rely on DNA for this? My guess would be yes, but I have no idea. I wouldn't postulate this. Yes.
I mean, if you don't like murky, you can say something which you have said before, which is not at this point settled. It will become settled in the future.
I mean, fine.
Technology and the chance of you. Absolutely right. It is simple. But the chances of error are becoming vastly less than they were.
Again, this is what I was told. Why the place can rely on one and not on the other. But I know they're matter HSH. In the World Trade Center, many, many women were released based on DNA. And today, that's a show. Rabbi Vadi Yosef's son is paskening Iguna Shilas, and he's being matter based on DNA. Again, I don't think anybody is arguing on these Haterim that I know of. They say Rav Avadia Yosef was matur all the Igunas in 1973, or he couldn't be. I just read this article, so I don't know how true it is, but I read it. And he couldn't be matur one. See, out of 800 or some cases that he had of Igunas, a lot of Shilas, he couldn't be matur one. Maybe it was, I'm making up the number, maybe it was less. He couldn't be matur one. And it ended up that the guy was a captive. They didn't know he was a captive and he came back. He was the one that he couldn't be martyred. He's the one that came back. Yep, Saturday Shemaya. Rabbisha was martyred. A lady came to Rabbisha. This is pointed in the Juvas, in the Agamas of the Juvas. Lady came to Rabbisha. She said, my husband came back and I thought he was dead in the war, in the Second World War. And I remarried. What do I do now? So Rabbisha said, who told you you can get remarried? So she named the Rav. So Rabbi said, you're lying. If that Rav would have been mad to you, your husband would have died. Not funny at all.
No, I'm saying,
only Rabbi can say that. Rabbi can say that. Rabbi said, if that you're lying, that Rav would never mad to you. Had he told you you could get married, your husband would have died.
So he wouldn't have made a mistake. The Rav should not have been an error.
Which means if he was a matter, your husband is not alive. It's a fact.
Yeah. The motion held that in a situation like that, a person of a certain stature has yet shmaya.
Is that obviously right? That's the Gemara right.
Rabbi, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Rabbi, so we believe the Chaya, even though she's a female, because there was nobody else available. If one
so the Rabbana made a takana, the Rabbana made a takana that she's believed.
Yes. So why wouldn't her testimony be defeated, though, by one male aide? Because why should there still be a presumption? Since if somebody else was there, then she would lose the presumption, or she would lose the elevation of being able to testify.
First of all, it depends on the two terutzim of the Gemara. According to the second teretz, you're right. But according to the first teretz, Chazal gave her power. And most of the time they gave her power, they empowered her more than a regular witness because of the need. Because of the need of identification, Chazal came along and said, Mrs. Midwife is it.
Yeah, but the power was based upon the unavailability of anybody else. So once there's somebody else available who was there, why should, according to any Terrence, she have any power at all? She's just another. She's just a woman in the room.
I understand your question. The answer is she's not a woman in the room. Let me try to explain. The other person in the room might not know because he's not involved in the birthing of the baby.
That's exactly my question. She not only is the only person in the room, she has, because of her expertise, there's something else about her.
I won't call her expertise, because of her involvement.
Because of her proximity.
Exactly. Proximity, involvement. The other person might be doing something else.
Okay. She's at ground zero, so to speak, Lahavdil. She gets it. She's right there. Okay.
Third.
I understand.
Going to the second right. Meaning, we don't believe in more than the one witness.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Zeman bala mekach loymer, zem mecharti v'lezeh mecharti. Okay, this is going to need a lot of explanation as we go along. I sold something, and two people are claiming they're the ones that bought it. So the one who sold it can tell us who he sold it to. Now, this is going to need a lot of explanation, which we will leave for tomorrow, and everybody should have a wonderful day.